Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound. Are we really gonna hit him with a three-parter? All right, I'm down. Week 13 of 50. Happy birthday, DGAF community. The session plus scoreboard check, part one. So it's 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 7th, and your protagonist is way too busy coordinating events for the weekend, planning a four-night meetup for the recently turned one-year-old DGAF community. And when I say way too busy, I mean I fucking love getting all the people who support my content together. I wish it was my primary job, in fact. But responding to messages from dozens of people every few seconds is not the mode you want to be in when you sit down to start a poker session. Fuck it. Sometimes you gotta think long term, which in this case means build this DGAF community. Give it all you got, at the expense of not playing your best in this poker game tonight. And who knows, so much at the poker table is decided by variance. Maybe you will win all the money, even though you are way too busy to play your best. Okay, so when I sit down, I get the four seat. And directly across from me in the one seat is this guy with a beard who is built. And I have some kind of bad memory of this guy. I don't particularly have a bad vibe on this day, but some kind of bad memory, and I quickly remember that this is the guy I got into it with at Caesars. I was, I think this was around Valentine's Day, and he came in late night and was trying to bluff a lot, and I was kind of locked in. I was calling every time he bluffed, and I was folding, making big folds to him when he had it, and he got angry. And I clapped back at him a little bit. We talked about a heads-up match. I remembered I'm poor, and he didn't really want to play anyways. It got toxic. It doesn't often get toxic at the poker table. It takes two people not willing to back down, and that's what happened in this case. And so this is not the start you want to your session, right? You're a little frazzled from doing all this work, organizing all these people, which is going to be great, and then you just want it to be chill at the table, and it's not going to be, I don't think. And so, I'm fold for a while, and I just get settled, and well, that's the plan. It's just to get settled and ready to play some poker, and then it comes to my attention. No, I need to pay for my kids' summer camps. So, just doing a lot of stuff on my phone instead of getting ready to play really well, and that's okay. And then it's my big blind, and I have ace three of hearts. And this white dude, probably mid-30s, opens to 20, UTG one. It folds back to me. I call 15 more with ace three of hearts. The flop comes ace queen seven rainbow. I check, and he checks, okay? And the turn is a 10, and I bet $25. And this guy calls, okay? And the river's a three. And I bet $75. And this is a very interesting hand. Even now, days later, it's still interesting to me. So I'm going to rewind it real quick. I've been a little frazzled, dealing with shit, and just folding. Now it's my big blind. I have ace three of hearts. And UTG1 opened to 20, and everyone folded. And I put in 15 more. And the flop came ace, queen, seven, rainbow. I checked, and this dude checked. And the turn's a 10, and now I bet 25 into 40 minus the rake. So 25 into 35, really. And he calls, and now I river aces up. And so I bet $75. The river's a 3. I bet 75. There's no flush out there. And he does the thing, lift your arms, the thing I am very fond of. And he goes all in, and he has me covered. And this is really weird. It's really weird, right? I bought in for $700, and I folded, and yeah. So I called 20 pre, and then I bet 25 on the turn and 75 on the river. So it's 580 more. It's a pretty big shove. I don't know anything about this guy. He kind of looks like the guy that plays at the Bellagio in the morning, who is some kind of pro, I think. He reminds me of Kat Spiros in the DDF community. He looks like him and is a nice guy like him. I don't know. What do you do here? Like, this is... So this is, for those of you who like poker strat, what do you do? I don't think there's any huge holes in my line leading up to this. What do you do? I folded. Why? Just because people have to prove it to me that they can make big bluffs. This looks like a big bluff to me. This looks like pocket kings all day long to me. In theory, in practice, people don't shove bluffs. Especially at 2-5. But this also might be a guy who plays bigger. I don't know. It's a lot to contend with in the first hand I play, right? And I folded. And it's a tough one. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think having pocket kings is enough for him to shove. I could still have king jack. Blockers are important. But my line's pretty strong. I think it's pretty protected. I don't know. I made a good play after that, though. I didn't button straddle. Even though I like to button straddle in these games because I'm a little frazzled, a little on edge, right? I got someone there that I have history with. We got into it with. It got toxic. No, I just don't button straddle. I get garbage. I fold it, and I go for a walk. That's a really good... couple decisions in a row. Don't button straddle. Fold the shit you get dealt and go for a walk and FaceTime your kids. And I did. And they always cheer me up. And it was nice talking to them. And then I went to try and make a reservation for dinner that night with Brandon Shaq Harris for his birthday. And I failed. Want to go to, what's it called? Blacktop, right there next to the poker room. And they don't take reservations. So, whatever. I did a little breathing, and I come back, and I post, and I call the button straddle. I post, and a bunch of people limp 10, and I throw in the extra $5 with 5 deuce offsuit. But it's, I'm getting an incredible price on my money, and the button doesn't seem like a squeezer, and we go to the flop. And it's just, 6 to 8 ways for $10 each. And a 5 deuce offsuit, and it comes king 7-7 rainbow, and everyone checks, okay? And the turn is a 10, and now there are 2 clubs. And I lead here. I'm the first one to act. Obviously, I don't have any equity. I have 5 deuce. It's king 7-7-10 with a flush draw out there. But everyone checking the flop often at this level means no one has a king or a 7, right? And... So I'm going to bet, and then I'm going to bet again. I already know that. And then I'm going to bet 30 here into 60 or 70. And then I'm going to bet a lot on the river, and it's just going to work. Well, my bet gets called by someone, and then it gets raised. So someone was slow playing, or they had pocket tens, who knows. And the good news is the dude that I got into it with leaves. So that's cool. You don't want to play when there's tension at the table. And yeah, I don't know. It was just one night, but it was more toxic than it's gotten for me at a poker table in a long time. The previous time I played with this guy, so he leaves, and that's good at least. And yeah, it's spewy as fuck to lead into the field with 5 deuce on king 7-7-10. But this isn't like in bigger games where people will check their kings. People will bet their kings at 2-5 on this flop, and they'll bet their sevens. And I don't know. It's just a It's spewy, but it's calculated spew. Okay. And now I'm the button straddle. Now I will button straddle. I'm feeling a little better. And I get 9-5 of spades. And someone min raises and people call. And I call. And Cindy, will you tell them what I flopped with this multi-way min raise? Everyone in for 20? That's right. I didn't flop anything there. And... sometimes you will, and it's just nice to be in position in a multi-way pot where everyone's put in $20. And for those of you who don't know, that is my friend I call her Cinny. She's from Ireland. She came over here to help me with the podcast, and her visa, something's wrong with her visa, or there's some problem at immigration. She can't go home, so she's stuck here with me. And she helps me out with this podcast. If you are new to the podcast, if you've been around listening, you know Cindy well, and she's great. She's a good helper. Okay, so I'm stuck $200 with Quickness, and when you don't depend on poker to pay bills and all that, you don't really pay attention. Or if you have a bankroll, right? You don't pay attention. I'm stuck $200. When you're a broke joke, like you're a protagonist, and really just up against it, and God, it's like must win every time you play, you notice when you're stuck $200 quickly. Okay, and now it's another, this is a multi-way limper, and I'm in position. Well, yeah, that's the gist of that hand. And I'm still obsessing over that ace three of hearts hand. And now I do think it is the guy from Bellagio who normally plays 5-10 in the morning, buys in for 1500, is a member of that kid who's letting people post hand histories on some forum, and he's helping them for 50 bucks a month. Just an awful idea. Fucking awful idea. But I think that is this guy, and now I'm starting to regret my fold with ace-3. His line does not make sense. As for value, you know, he's repping the nuts, which I think he would be betting the flop a decent amount, and why would he be shoving? And it just really reps pocket kings. It just does, or pocket jacks to me, or I don't know if he's he could be misapplying though, right? He could just be, I wouldn't do that with kings. I don't, cause my line's too strong. If my line was weaker, sure. But I don't know. And now I think it is this guy, and I'm just kind of obsessing it over it at the table. And I just don't know if, I knew this guy named Mo in LA. He was a character. And his rule was no show, no believe. So people would say they were bluffing. They would look back at their cards a lot. This guy didn't do either, right? But he would say no show, no believe. So you want me to believe that you're capable of this? You got to show me one time. And I don't know. I just, I'm kind of obsessed with this hand. I still am. And yeah, I don't know. Now this guy on my left flops the nuts and doubles up. And says, it took me 3 hours playing behind. And so now he's winning and he just racks up no more hands, dealer. And there's no shame in it for him. And that's kind of the culture in red chip hell, as some call the Venetian 2-5. Okay. So now I'm a little frazzled, a little upset about that hand. I kind of wish I called with ace-3. And so I'm going to straddle in front. I don't always straddle in front. I do if others are, but it's you know, it's not good. In a bigger game, it could be valuable. In this game, you're just kind of giving some EV away. You're just kind of gambling, which I like to do. People will say button straddle is not great. I cannot agree with that. I do think it's great for the you know, the player. And at this level, it's not, you don't need to protect these games. People don't even notice what's going on. So anyways, I straddle in front, and the same guy that went all in when I had aces up opens, and I have 7-3 offsuit, and I fold. And the good news is I'm in the 4 seat, which is a great seat to fold in. You got lots of arm room, right? And so you can kind of, with your left hand, you can kind of flick your cards down, and you can make a pat on the felt, and they can slide into the muck. It's nice. So, yeah. And... so I just FaceTimed my kids, and I just got back in town a couple days ago, but I already miss them, right? And so here's how much of a cheesesteak dad I am. So when I'm with them, I listen to Post Malone on clean, and when I'm not with them, I listen to it regular. And I almost chose clean just to, like, you know, cause I'm a sap, but I didn't, I put regular, and that's just, I didn't need to tell you that, but I don't need to tell you pretty much any of this shit. Okay, let's go. I have a... Oh, sorry. This isn't even me. This is the guy. We'll call him the Bell Cat. I don't know if it's him. It's hard to tell with masks and shit. I am sober, but you just... It's hard to tell with masks and plexiglass and reflections and all that. He opened a 7'6 suited and coolered a fish. The fish had pocket 10s. And he did a kind of a smug showdown. It came 9-7-5-6-X, and the fish fired his 10s on the river, and the guy just called the call with two pair. And he did kind of a smug showdown, which is, I don't know. It's just, I've just been in this game too long, man. This guy's like one of the nicer people I play with, and I fucking hate him. That's true. No, I don't really hate him, but everything grates on me at the table. Like, the run hot, you just beat 10s with 7-6, just be happy, right? Like, yeah, four card straight came, but just be happy. And you want a nice pot, and you just, you know, just smile, even though you can't because you got a mask on, or I don't know, you can smell with your eyes. Okay. And now I'm irritated, and part of it is being too busy, and part of it is being poor, and part of it is having to fold aces up and all that. And I wrote, I've said I'm going to come up one last time and get out of poker. I've said that many times. And I've decided I'm not going to get out. Let me take a sip of coffee real quick. No, what I'm going to do, I'm going to come up, which means, you know, through my podcasting, through my startup, and through poker, I'm going to get flush again. And I'm not going to get out of poker, but I am not going to sit in full ring games. I'm just going to post, just sit, you know, go somewhere and say, I'll play anyone heads up. Something I love. I love that battle. I need that juice. I feel, you know, when you're playing full ring, people are protected, right? It's like they have armies when you're battling because you just can't do much, right? You got to worry about all the other players. You got to play very few hands. And I don't know. This is just what I'm thinking on this day. So it's good I'm getting the fire back a little bit. I don't really consider full ring poker, you know, much of a test at all. It's a test of who can be patient and who can run hot, in my opinion. I don't know. So that's what I wrote. And then I make a four card straight on a paired board, and I win $35. My opponent had nothing. What? No. Just talking about something else. Okay. So I'm going to do a rack count roll call. And this is at the Venetian. Every so often, they come over and count the rack. I'm not sure why. If it slows down the game, it slows down the rake, and probably occasionally they're short or over a dollar or two, which they should just write off, right? But they don't. And so it gives you time to do whatever you want. And in my case, that means I'm going to go around the table and tell you who's in every seat. So in the one seat is some boss who wears his mask low, and he bought in for $700 in 20s, okay? Seat two is a tight fish, so he looks like a fish. He plays after the flop like a fish, but he's folding a lot, okay? Seat three is open. There's no one there. Seat four is your protagonist, Dragon Man, and seat five is not Nick. What the fuck does that mean? Well, when I first was describing him, I wrote an Indian whale, and then I was thinking of N-I-K in the community, and I said, but not Nick, right? And then so I just call him Not Nick. And then we'll call the next guy Bell Cat, and then we'll call the next guy Fake Barry. He reminds me of this guy in San Diego that I played big with, a lawyer, an older guy named Barry, very funny, very well off, a character. And just fun to play with. And then the eighth seat, and there's only eight seats during Rona, is the unlucky rich guy. So a guy that obviously, just by the way he's dressed and his watch and everything, has plenty of money, but he's getting very unlucky in hands. And he's tilting a little bit. Okay. So I whiff something in a limp pot. Who gives a shit? It's time for my best play. As mentioned, I'm frazzled, not playing well, or just really second-guessing that big fold. I mean, it's not a big fold, but it was a big pot if I call and win. And he shouldn't have value with that line, I don't think. I don't know. But anyways, I do make my best play. So I'm the button straddle with 8-6 offsuit. And the boss who, you know, bought him for 20, so that's a good sign. He limps, and the unlucky rich guy makes it 30 from the big blind, okay? And now it goes back to the boss who limped, and he calls, and I call 20 more with 8-6 offsuit in position. We got 90 out there, you know, before rake. The flop comes king, deuce, deuce, rainbow. And this guy, who's dressed nice and rich and been unlucky, he bets 50, and the boss folds. And I have 8-6 offsuit on king, deuce, deuce, rainbow. So I call. It's such an easy call, right? It's just such, anyone that knows anything about poker is not firing a king on king, deuce, deuce, rainbow. No, I mean, they're at least pausing a little bit. They almost always check at this level, especially. So it's just the easiest float of all time. And why is it my best play if it's so easy? Because I'm not, I haven't been playing well. And, but I just, you know, and I obviously have no equity, but I'm used to having no equity, probably more than anyone in the history of the game. But, so yeah, I, you know, the boss folds and I call, and then the turn's a five, and this guy who looks very conservative, now he checks, and I just reach for my chips and he folds. So this is easy. It's just easy on a, on the driest board of all time, king, deuce, deuce, rainbow. He's just, if he fires 50 there, he just has, you know, he has worse than a king. And he's going to check fold the turn. And that's what he did. And pretty simple play, but you got to take credit for those when you're frazzled, when you're organizing a bunch of people on your phone, when you're paying bills on your phone, when you're, you know, when you're writing shit in your phone for your podcast. Oh, kind of proud of myself. So proud. I'm going to take another sip of coffee, if you guys don't mind. Okay. Now, the bell cat in this hand that I'm not involved in bets big on the river, and fake Barry calls. And the board was like, you know, two diamonds, and then the river was an ace, and fake Barry had ace king of diamonds, so he rivered top pair, but it was a big bet, like over the pot, and the bell cat had a set. So I haven't seen anything yet to prove my theory that he shouldn't have had value on that shove. Yeah, so it's just kind of a note, and I'm excited about sitting in the four seat. I forgot how good it is, because you can fold, like, you have all this room in front of you. You don't have plexiglass in front of your face, so you can see the cards and stuff. You can fold to the muck with your left, and you can, all the chips from the 1, 2, 3 in your seat, 4, you can just grab them and give them to the dealer. You can speed up the game, and I don't know. The drink holder is not centered, because the drink holder is made for a 9-handed table or maybe a 10-handed table, and I don't know, but it's a good spot, the four seat. It's worth seat changing to, I think, if it's not going to piss someone off. You can really speed up the game. You can grab all the chips from the right side of the table and give them to the dealer, because people don't put them in far enough. And, you know, the dealer has to stand up and reach and grab them. Well, you can be their helper. You can fold fast, and it's contagious. It honestly speeds up the game. Yeah. Okay. What happens in this hand? This hand's really kind of interesting. There are some limpers. And I 6x with ace, queen of spades. And not Nick calls an imposition. So that's an Indian gentleman who's a whale, but it's also not Nick. Yeah, he calls imposition. Fake Barry calls out of position. It's a rich, older white guy. It's pretty funny. And he reminds me of someone named Barry. And everyone else folds. Okay, so we got about $100 in there. And, you know, the tight fish folded, of course. And the flop came ace-7 deuce. Two-tone, and fake Barry checks, and what should I do with ace, queen of spades here? I could bet, but not Nick has $135, and I'm hoping he'll just blast it off here, right? It's a little over pot. This is a good spot to just let him punt it in there, and he doesn't, unfortunately, so we check around. Ace-7, deuce, two-tone. The turn is a 7, probably my least favorite card, right? Because not Nick could check middle pair there. And now fake Barry checks again, and I check. I don't need to bet here. I'm way ahead, way behind, and I can get value on the river. I don't know. And now not Nick bets $35 with 100 behind. And fake Barry folds. And I just call because he could have turned trips. I'm not worried about a flush draw at all. So I just think, you know, this guy has been punting, you know, and while I've been at the table, I'm sitting next to him and he's got a blowhole. He does. I'm getting damp and I just want him to bluff it off. It seems like a spot to let him bluff it off. The river's an offsuit queen. I have top two, but the third card's paired. I check. He bet 65, and he has 35 behind. I just call because I don't know what he could be going for value with that's worse. And he has ace nine offsuit. Fuck. So I left $35 on the table. It's just, I played this hand very odd. But as mentioned, I had a lot going on and it happens sometimes. Obviously he would call if I went all in for 35 more, but I saved 35 when he has a seven, and all the times he's just bluffing with air, it's the same result. Okay. And now I have pocket kings on the button straddle and people limp, and I try to make it 50 and fucking two more red chips slip out of my hand. Not kidding. Right on top. So I make it 60 and everyone folds. And 60 is an okay number to make it, but 50 is much better with a good hand. And yes, you have different sizings for different hands at this level, of course. And now it's pretty funny. We have a seat open and this woman is coming and someone at the 2-5 game next to us says, no, you come here. So when I hear this, I know that she's probably amazing for the game. And he says to her, that one's not sanitized yet. I don't want you to get sick. Come here. Our open seat is sanitized. And sometimes you just got to tip your cap, right? Like, you don't like people poaching. It doesn't work if everyone's poaching. But that's just kind of too funny to hate. I don't know. So he said he didn't want her to get sick. That's why he wanted her to play at his table, because the seat was sanitized. It's great. I don't know. And then I went and took a piss. I came back and I wrote, guess who just crammed all in with two outs? Not Nick. And he got there though. And then I wrote, maybe it is Nick. Okay. So it's just a nice guy, plenty of money, Indian whale, but it's not Nick. Okay. But he runs like him apparently, plays like him for sure. And now the bell cat is gone. So I don't know if that was him or not. And that hand just keeps rattling around in my head. I don't know. So, I wrote, guess who isn't tight anymore? The tight fish. And why isn't he tight? Because that's who Nick got there against with two outs. So he opens a 20 and I defend with ace jack and he has $200. Okay. Behind. And it comes ace queen six. I check. He bets 80, 2x pot. And I do my best to act weak here and call. I think he's punting. The tight fish is mad. He's on tilt. He's a human being. Well, he's a fish. Whatever. You know what I mean. And I have ace jack on ace queen six, and he bets 2x pot. And I'm happy to get the money in, but I don't want to, if he's just about to punt it off, I don't want to stop him, right? So I just call. I pretend like I'm weak, which I could never be on ace queen six. But whatever, you got to give him a little show. You don't want to slow the game down. Call the 2x 80, and the turn's a three, and I try and look weak and check, and he shoves all in, and I snap call. He has queen seven offsuit, so he was a tight fish, and then he got two outed, and he was not a tight fish. And we're all in for a 500 in the middle, and I have 89% equity, and the river is a seven. So he river two pair, and he won the pot, the $500 pot. And then I wrote, guess who is tight again? The tight fish. So that's just how it works. He gets bad beat. He's going to fucking punt it off with queen seven offsuit. He's going to get there with 11% equity and for the double up. And now he's going to be tight again. Great. And I wrote, guess who's stuck and trying to get comp points on the side? Your protagonist. And what does that mean? My license is expired. I didn't know that. I learned that on the flight out to Vegas. And I can't find my player's card. And I need to get comps. I know I have some comps from being in Red Chip Hell. Taking Brandon Shaq Harris out for his birthday. I want to go somewhere you know, hopefully Blacktop or somewhere else at the Venetian or Palazzo. And I'm trying to, you know, work magic with the floor man. Like, can you look up my name, this and that? And then I wrote, I'm the new comp asshole. So there's always some guy slowing down the game, trying to get their comps straight. And on this day, it was actually me. I'm sorry. I was thinking, the floor people at the Venetian, they're great if you're a normal person, which I am now, right? I'm sober. I'm trying to win it fucking 2-5. And they're great. This guy's being very helpful. You know, he's like, he's going and checking. There's like four people with the same name as me. And he's asking what days I played and whatnot. And he's going to hook me up, right? And get me my comps. But they're not great if you're not a normal person, which I used to not be. Like, I used to want to play 25-50 heads up. And like, if I stacked a guy, I'd want to give him chips and let him owe me money. Like, shit that flies in LA, but doesn't fly in Vegas. And I couldn't stand Vegas when I started playing in Vegas the second time around. I lived out there for a while and then played in LA for years. And then I couldn't stand the culture, right? Of everything is so strict. But it's interesting. Now that I'm trying to do this shit and the guy's happy to help me, right? And it's taking time out of his day. I don't know. I just wrote about it. And then I just talked about it. And then I folded 9-6 suited despite the nostalgia. That's the DGAF community hand. And I would have had a combo draw. And I would have had to fold a turn. And that's never fun. And you know what else isn't fun? The unlucky rich guy lost again. And he lost earlier when, this was great, when fake Barry opened and he called and others called. And the flop came ace, 8-3, rainbow, and fake Barry bet. And this guy raised, the unlucky rich guy. And he got back to fake Barry and he called. And fake Barry had kings. He led and call on ace 8-3 and the turn was at 8. I mean, sorry, turn was a king. And then he fired and the guy called and then he went all in on the river and the guy called with ace 8. And which is a bad call, but still, it's very unlucky. It's 2-outer. He got unlucky again. Okay. A sip of coffee and then my almost worst play. I limp pocket deuces. Is that on the chart to limp? No. But in this game, you have not Nick. You have an Indian whale on your left, and he's awesome, and he's getting everyone wet with his blowhole, and you don't want to raise that hand, or you just want to limp it and get in there. And he limps. Yeah. And then fake Barry goes to $20, and that's 4X. And the boss who bought him with all 20s and wears his mask below his nose, calls. We call, and not Nick calls. So we get $80 in the pot, and it worked out well, right? If we open and get 3-bet, that's the worst. And if we open and get a bunch of callers, we have initiative, and it also sucks. This is fine. We don't have initiative. We're in there in a four-way for 20 each, right? And you're against three players that you want to be in there with. And the flop comes king 9-3. Rainbow, so close to flopping a set, and we all check, and everyone honestly seems pretty disinterested in this flop. The turn is a deuce, wow, and it's Badoogie. There are no flush draws out there, and I'm gonna check, and maybe I was wrong. Maybe fake Barry will bet queens now or something like that. Maybe someone will take a stab. Maybe, you know, not Nick will get involved. Well, anyways, I turn to set and I check, and not Nick checks and fake Barry checks. And now the boss bets $15. Okay. So he bets 15, and I know he's drawing dead against me. This guy isn't the type of guy to bet a draw. He's just so like chill. He's not like, he's just playing very, he probably has, you know, maybe a 9 or maybe a 3. And so there's no reason for me to raise here. If it was a different opponent who would think my line is bullshit, sure, I should raise. But there's no real reason for me to raise. So I just call with bottom set, and I'm just going to lead the river and try and get some value, right? And Barry calls also. Okay. And so it's King 9-3. So just to rewind, I limped, not Nick, limped and spouted some water all over the table. And fake Barry popped it to 20. And the boss who bought in with 20s, but he's just the most controlled player at the table, calls. I call and not Nick calls. We got 80 in there. King 9-3 rainbow. We all check. Turn deuce. That's my set. I check. I will check raise, not Barry, the rich guy that has a strong range. I will also check raise not Nick. I will not check raise the boss because he's just gonna fold. And I call and fake Barry calls as well. And the river's an offsuit 8. And now I bet $50 I just know this guy, the boss, that he will pay this off with a pair. He'll say, this doesn't make any sense and pay it off. I don't know. Well, now fake Barry goes to $280 and the boss folds. And I know this is pocket eights. I know it's pocket eights. I know he opened with pocket eights. He checked King 9-3. And then he overcalled on King 9-3 deuce. I know this player type. I almost fold. Like, I know it's a fold, but also I can't prove, right? I can't prove that I'm right. And then it's going to fucking confuse me or it's going to bother me, right? I'll know I'm right, and I'll try and tell you guys I folded because he had pocket eights. And then I won't be able to prove that, you know, he got there with his 5% or whatever. If this hand was on stream, 100% I would have folded. I called. And he had pocket eights. It's fucking... So, sometimes you have to... Also, if I didn't have a podcast, I wouldn't call. But, yeah. I mean, yeah. It wasn't... People, you could say, like, hopefully he has 9-8. Nah. It just... His sizing, it reminded me of when he had pocket kings against the unlucky rich guy and turned to king. He just kind of spazzed the same exact way. So, it sucks. It sucks that I turned a set and he rivered a set. And I don't even really regret anything about my line. And yeah, I called, but if I, you know, sometimes I play worse because I have a podcast for sure. And I just, I wouldn't be able to, you know, people be like, what, you fold a fucking set there? That's horrible. No, it was correct. And I didn't, and I lost. And so what? Okay. And now, I am the button straddle with ace 8 offsuit. Bunch of people limp. They're all weak. I pop that shit, right? And I get two calls. Fine. Flop comes ace king king. I have ace 8. They check to me. I bet tiny. And big hurt calls. So the unlucky rich guy has C changed away from the 8 to my right in the 3 now. And some guy that looks like Frank Thomas sat down. And he calls my tiny bet on ace king king after I squeezed it pre-flop and built a little bloater, and the turn is an X, and he checks, now I check back, and the river's an X, and he bets, and I call, and he has queen 10 offsuit, so just a pretty easy hand, and easy hands are nice when you're not playing your best. Let's see, so, what is this? I straddle, everyone limps, and now the tight fish goes all in for $250. So, that's 25 big blinds. I fold. He had ace-king suited, and he beat not Nick's limped jacks. So, a little justice. Not Nick, 2 out of them. And I don't need to be reporting on other people's hands. I just did here. But the point is, they both had really good hands. And that's, I don't know what the point is. There's no point. The point is, take a sip of coffee and regroup. Because we got another... We got another button straddle coming up. Okay, so we're the button straddle with 9-7 suited, and it's a four-way bloater. And that means someone opens, someone calls, we call, and then not Nick calls from the small blind. The best spot to call if you're not Nick, right? And the flop comes... That's right. Thank you, Cinny. But the interesting thing about this hand is someone opened and the tight fish called with ace king instead of three betting and with a short stack. And then it came ace XX and he shoved his ace king and showed after he won. So it's a very tight fish kind of play. Okay, now I am the button straddle again. A new player sits down and This guy sits down in Fake Barry's seat. Fake Barry won a couple nice pots, and each time he had two outs, and that's plenty for a rich, older white guy, for sure. And so this guy sits down, and it's a grinder, right? He's got a North Face shirt on, and, you know, he's buying in for $1,000, classic grinder. And it's my button straddle, and he completes from the big blind, and I have Jack 6 offsuit, and I make it 40. Why? Because he just sat down. He's going to complete and fold a shit ton. You got to know your player type. And he folds. And so it just feels good just to win his $10. I don't know. So what? And it seems like after I squeezed with ace-8 offsuit and won that pot against Big Hurt, where it came ace-king-king, and I bet tiny, and he called, and then I checked back and called his, you know, queen-10 bluff on the river. Seems like he's ready to pay me, and I flopped the nut flush draw, and I whiff and lose $100. And he had, you know, some kind of good hand that if I made the nut flush, he was going to give me all the money. And you got to make those sometimes, and sometimes I do. That time I did not. Okay. And then I wrote, I need to stop under the gun straddling in this hellhole. Okay. So I do believe in the button straddle. Others don't. Really, really smart people don't believe in it. I do. I really do. At this level, at 2-5. Yeah. So, but straddling in front is just generally bad. If you have really horrible players on your left, which, you know, not Nick. So it can make sense, especially if there's like more than one of them. But I don't know. And then I wrote, hopefully I can make it to dinner without busting my steak roll. And that's a real concern, right? I got dinner in a few hours, and things aren't going well, and I lost that all in. You know, I'm poor, so a $500 pot when you're 89%, you want to win those. And I don't know. I don't want to bust and then have to sit around and then have a birthday dinner. It's going to suck. I don't know. It's a real concern. And then some lady sits down with a Prada bag, I think, and she has $200, and I just wrote, oh my god, I'm gonna double her. She's just this nice older white lady, very fancy, with $200, sitting down to play some Texas Hold'em, and I just have a feeling that I'm gonna double her up in some weird way. And as mentioned, Fake Barry, you know, he left and he took all my chips, just like real Barry used to. And so I'm, you know, what I'm doing is I have money behind a lot. And when you need to rebuy or add on at Venetian, they throw a yellow placard. I mean, not yellow, green placard with all caps that says money behind. And I can't tell you how many times this shit is in front of me. And I want to steal one and then drill a hole in it and put on my chain. I think it'll be pretty sick. But all right, chop with this new Prada lady, and she seems very sweet. And it's just nice to, she's like a grandma. It's just nice to have some sweet people at the table. And then my button straddle, and it gets around to her, and I think she's like checking out my ass. I don't know. She's looking behind me, and she's on my left. She's looking behind me and down, and I might have like a plumber's crack going on because I don't wear underwear. And sometimes when you're sitting down for a while, your pants slide down. I think she's checking out my ass. Good for her. I don't know. Let's see what we got here. We have 6-5 suited and call $20 six ways to the flop. So 6-5 suited, 6-5 spades is a great hand for this situation. Or it's like a good hand. It's not as good as like a little pocket pair, but it's good. And six ways to the flop, and I flop a flush draw, and I have to fold. God damn it. So it sucks flopping a draw and having to fold. Well, what happened was the tight fish bet and the unlucky rich guy who C-changed my right, he just shipped it all in. So I couldn't call, not with a 6-5 flush draw. And this lady, the ass checker, I think the only thing that makes sense is that she was checking out my ass. And I don't even know if I have a nice ass or not, but she was checking it out, and she's like a like grandma with Prada, very pleasant. I think she was checking out my ass. She got in there with Jack 3 offsuit, and she was not in one of the blinds. She wasn't posting. She just decided to play that hand, and she made two pair, and another new player, a younger lady, doubled her up. There's a lot of turnover in these games, right? Because anyone who wins a pot leaves. That's how it is. So now she has, you know, they each bought him for 200, and the chip owner gave him 20 white chips, $21 chips, and so she has 40. And she's got, she's great. She's smiling. She's checking out my ads. She's awesome. She's already doubled up with Jack 3 offsuit. Okay. And now the next hand is a 7-way limper. Why is it not an 8-way limper? Because the other woman, the younger woman who got stacked, she's not allowed to play. That's their rules at Venetian. She has to wait for a chip runner to come by, and chip runner's busy, you know, getting some other whale chips. And maybe getting me chips, who knows? And so she's not allowed to play. And that's just, you know, that's just an interesting rule they have. Even if she has her money in front of her, she doesn't qualify for a hand until the chip runner picks them up, announces how much she has. I don't know. And I wrote, my cards are so bad, I don't even protect them anymore. And that's sad. And then I wrote, sorry, gambling engineer, I'm putting on Kings of Leon. Something, so I need something chill to listen to that's not Post Malone, because I've listened to Post Malone so much, right? And I'm thinking, like, what will be kind of chill? Like, the music can't be too aggro. I already play pretty aggro, and if the music's aggro, I will fucking punt it all off. So I'm thinking Kings of Leon, right? And Gambling Engineer is a patron, and on Twitter, he fucking hates Kings of Leon. And it's funny, but that's why I had to apologize. Sorry, I'm going to put it on. I need something like that, right? Like, something just relaxing, whatever. Okay. And, what is this? Oh, yeah. So this is, I call this hand the old pro running hot hand. And I'm the old pro. Okay. So everyone limps, starting with the ass checker. Just this classy grandma, great smile, doubled up with Jack 3 offsuit that she got in there with just voluntarily. And she limps. And I have King 7 of hearts, right? And it's my big blind. And they all limp, and I 10x it. Yeah. I love King 7 in this spot. And it folds, and it's usually just going to fold through. But the boss, the guy who bought in for the 20s and wears his mask below his nose, he calls. So what does that mean? It almost certainly means he has a small pocket pair. Like, almost certainly, right? And so it's just him and I, right? And the flop comes ace, deuce, deuce. It's a great flop. I check. He checks. I'm going to bet the turn and win. The turn's a 10. I bet. He folds immediately. I win. So that's kind of one version of running hot, where you normally, you're gonna 10x it and steal all these weak limps. But occasionally there's going to be a boss in there with a hand like pocket fours that wants to see if he can flop a four. And if he doesn't, he's folding. And, you know, when it comes to ace, deuce, deuce, you could bet right now, but it's just a little silly. It's better to delay that shit. And it's just easy. I don't know. And it allows you, when you steal, it allows you to whiff. And that's what happened in a 5-way bloater with Queen Jack of hearts. I just flopped absolutely. And I should say that I think I've won 3 sessions in a row at this point, and I have been flopping some stuff, so I shouldn't be so obsessed with whiffing. But it's gonna take more than 3 tiny wins to get me to not worry about being in these great spots and just and flopping air. I don't know, but here's a fantastic hand that made me happy. So I wasn't involved in this one, the ass checker was. Sweet grandma wants to check out my ass, and the tight fish was. And the tight fish potted it on the flop was on 7-6-3. And I don't know if it was a limper or someone else raised, and they both called. He potted it on 7-6-3, and she called. And then the turn was a 10, and he blasted again, and she called. And the river was a 6, and she snap went all in, and he called. And she had 9s. So she check called 7-6-3 pot, turn 10, check call pot. On a 6, she goes all in with nines, and he had eights, and he called her, and so she's just up heaps. And it all started with Jack 3 offsuit that she got in there with. Yeah. And the other woman who's younger already doubled too, and I didn't see how. I was taking notes. So now it's my button straddle. Well, I like getting in there. I like the button straddle. Gets you involved, right? Even if you're, you know, if you're card dead, you're still in there, you know, a decent amount, right? And so it folds around to the younger woman, and she defends from the big blind. I just check, you know, I have to sometimes check my button straddle. I have Jack 9 offsuit. It's fine. And the flop comes 10-4-3. She checks. I bet $10, right? I bet half the pot. I'm going to win this pot at some point, right? I might bet, you know, 40 on the turn and 300 on the river. Who knows, right? Depends what comes. Well, the turn's a 9, okay? So I just turned a pair. She checks. I bet $10 again. Now I got to string her along because a small bet, big bet was going to work, but now I want value. And she calls, and the river's a 5, and I bet $10 more. She calls again. I turn over my hand, and she's mad, and she folds. And I don't usually make women mad. I don't, but she's mad. And that's okay. And I overlimp ace-4 offsuit, and I wrote when in Venice, right? When you're at the Venetian, you just got to get in there with all these characters, right? And there's just so many people in there, right? And the flop came ace-queen-4. Wow. 2 spades, and I did the thing where you're not used to making good hands, and I look back at my cards like, really? Yeah, I caught myself doing it. Luckily, no one else was paying attention at all. There were 6 people that in the pot, 6-way limper, and I flopped top and bottom. I bet 20 into 30, and I got 4 calls. Holy shit. That's pretty wild. So we got 130 in there now. And the turn is a 5. It does not complete the flush. I bet 90, you know, a good percentage of the pot, and they all fold. No idea what any of them were doing. And the next note is I fold Jack 3 offsuit like an idiot. So I didn't play that hand, but I'm not as good as that grandma that bought him for 200 and already has heaps. I'm not. And I'm guilty of checking asses too sometimes. Not as egregious as this older woman. She's just like right next to me, just checking it. I'm not like that. I just, if, you know, if one happens to walk by, like my eyes, you know, get hung up on it for a little bit, but I respect it. Anyways, God, it's time for my worst play. Mm-hmm. And I straddle under the gun, and it does make sense to do now because I got, you know, not Nick is gone, but this ass-checking lady is great. And the other young lady is, she's not, who? I wish I knew. Who's the superstar woman player? She's not Vanessa Cade, right? So, and it's just the whole table. It's red chip hell, right? It's slow. There's pauses all the time. The rake is enormous. But also the players are horrific at poker, and that's awesome. So it does make straddle under the gun here, right? Sometimes they're tight, and you know, you got the 2-5 pros, and you know, you can't put that on a tee for them. So, I don't know how the ass checker folded, but she maybe because she's just up so much money, she folded. The younger lady limps, and now the North Face pro, the one guy that you know knows all the rules of the game, he goes to 40. Big hurt calls, and the tight fish he's on tilt from that lady crushing his eights, and he ships $132 and it gets back to me. I have ace jack of spades. What to do here? Well, so the straddle's fine, that part is fine, but what to do now? Young lady limps, that doesn't mean shit. I mean, she has some hand, she's seen win once before at a poker table. That's about it. Now, the North Face Pro goes to 40. He's going to be very wide. Because when a player that's not great with a horrible range limps, sure, you're just going 40 with everything, 4X. And Big Hurt's gambling. He calls. And now the tight fish ships 132, and he's on tilt. So what to do with ace-jack of spades? I think the answer in this order is fold is best, min 3-bet is second best, and call is the worst. And I just wasn't, I think I knew I'm always going to opt for min 3-bet. I'll get in there and, you know, gamble with you. You're on tilt, you just shove 132, right? I think, but that has other problems that if North Face has a really good hand, or if Big Hurt just flatted a big hand, which I don't think they do, but sometimes they do, that can be problematic, the min 3-bet. I think calling is probably, I don't know, it's the worst of the three options. Folding is probably best. Sometimes you got to fold ace-jack suited preflop, right? Even though the guy's on tilt, it's just such a bad situation. And I decided to call because I was suited. If I had ace-jack offsuit, I never would have called. I would have min 3-bet or folded, which I should have done. Anyways, I called, and now North Face calls, and Big Hurt calls. And that's not the end of the world, right, to have a four-way, each person in there for 132, right? It's going to be, it's $530 in the pot, and you have ace-jack of spades against, you could easily have the best hand now, and you have a great hand. It's a great fucking hand, right? The flop comes 10-7-7 with one spade. I check, North Face Pro checks, Big Hurt checks. Interesting. Okay. The turn is a six of spades. And, you know, we just got 530 in the middle and we're playing for a dry side pot. I check and North Face Pro bets 135. And just, you know, really small compared to the pot. And I just think it's a fucking 10. I just thought he wanted to bet the flop. I just think it's a 10. Big Hurt folds. And so what should I do if I think it's a 10? And I have two over cards and a flush draw. I should fucking raise here. And I didn't. I called and the river was a red 3. And I checked and he checked back. He had 10-9 of clubs. So he won. The grinder, of course, won, right? And the tight fish had pocket nines. Ah, man. So I had a lot of equity on the turn. I third, like, you know, I'm 2-1 dog to win the pot. So I could have called pot, right? But he bet like such a small percentage of pot. I played the hand so passively, which I just don't, because you can play passively if you're going to run hot. I don't run hot enough too. So I could have folded this hand preflop. I could have min 3-bet. I chose to flat, which was the worst option, but at least I was suited, so you don't mind the four-way action. And then, you know, on the turn, with all that equity, I thought, well, I'm just getting such a good price here. Like, I could just call with my nut flush draw. But I also know when he bets that amount, it's a weak bet. I should always check raise, even though I'm not repping a much, right, with a check raise there. But yeah, I don't know. It just sucks. Sucks to lose that one, and it sucks to play it so passively. And then the next note is the dealer just scratched her tit, and I like it. So she just put the cards down and scratched her tit. I don't know why. I liked it after that hit. And so now there's a new setup or some bullshit. There's another rain delay, and the boss who bought him for 20s, he booked a win, and he's gone, and I'm stuck $500, and no hands are being dealt, and I got dinner in 90 minutes. And my next note is, fuck Kings of Leon. You were right, gambling engineer. So I blame them, I think, for not binking, you know, two overs and a flush draw. But also, I could really only blame myself. I think I played that hand poorly, just passively, which I just don't do. I haven't in forever. I haven't played passively since the very first hand I played. I didn't play passively. So that was a long time ago. I don't know. I miss open-ended. Ass checker fires on the river when the board pairs. And the other young lady ships, and it's not much more for the ass checker, and she folds. So she was just getting in there with a stone cold bluff. I like her. Yeah. And now, God, now the dealer is under the table looking for something. And I really want to play some poker with these players. And I was thinking if I hit an ace, a jack, or a spade on the river, I'd be up 200 right now. Instead, I'm down 500. That's the way it goes. But how lucky did the guy with 10-9 against 9s and ace-jack suited get? pretty lucky if you think about it. And I went and took a piss. I checked my phone. I got an email from Patreon. Someone lowered me. Good. I wrote, good. Yep. And I came back. Try to find some music, right? Try to put on the Dragons. That's a band from San Diego. I used to love them. They had an album called Rock Like Fuck. That was great. Well, I put them on whatever's on Spotify. And they did a live cover of Bad Reputation. Why would you ever do that? It doesn't make sense. You're not gonna compete with the original. So I went to another San Diego band, the Malacas, who I liked way back in the day. And I found something that said Malacas, but it wasn't them. And I button straddle. And there's three raises in front of me. And I fold 7 deuce offsuit because
I can dodge bullets, baby.
Yeah. So I got away from that one. I was very proud. And then what? I found Lucero. And I don't know why I'm telling you what I'm listening to, because it's the story. You gotta find music that's gonna make you feel good at the table even when you're stuck, and gonna help you play well. And I don't usually listen to music in poker, but with the plexiglass on, it's just taking the social element out of it. It has, and it's fine. It's what needs to be done for now. I mean, you can look around the plexiglass if you wanna check out some dude's ass, I guess, but it's just hard to you know, have conversations. So I listen, you know, to music. And also at this level, it's not a big deal. In big games, listening to music's horrible, right? Because part of your job in those things is to keep them going. And 2-5 is just going to run every single day until the end of time at Venetian. I don't know. But I found Lucero, a good band, and the song was Nights Like These. And I was like, yeah, this is the song for me right now. And then I barrel on a good board against Big Hurt, and he has the nuts. And how do I know he has the nuts? Because he raises me on the river. Yep. And then I'm just going to fold every single hand and hope there's a table share. That's stupid. I don't know if there is even a jackpot at the Venetian, but I was being a baby, and that happens. And guess what time it is? It's money behind time. So I had to dip into my 20s. It's true. Yeah. I'm a professional poker player, and for this money behind to add on, I had to dip into the 20s in my wallet, and it's okay. And while I'm doing this, the youngish guy with the North Face that's been running hot, he wins another huge pot. And he almost talks his way out of winning the extra 200 on the river. So the pot was probably like 800, and he bet 200 because the board, you know, he knows how to play it. It wasn't great for trying to get value, but 200, you know, he wanted to get a hero call from like second pair, and he was going to from Big Hurt, and he almost talked his way out of it. I don't know. I thought that was weird, but I did almost straddle under the gun and pulled it back, and I was so happy about that. I had 10-5 offsuit, and then I wrote, you want the fucking poker dream? Unsubscribe from sessions. You want a life story of someone trying their hardest, struggling mightily, but never giving up? Keep listening. Part 2 tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? I'm holding out for a hero. Princess, I'm doing the outro. He's gotta be strong, and he's gotta be fast, and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. And that's a lot of stuff. I'm holding out for a hero. Princess, I know, we're trying. He's gotta be soon, he's gotta be soon, and he's gotta be larger than life. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player, because otherwise...